Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon. Today we continue our workplace article. We are on page 20, and I have back in the studio with me Simon and Lois. Welcome, panelists.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brandon.
We had a kind of intense discussion yesterday about the loss or the decline of physical jobs, and can you give us a bit of a recap, Simon?
Wow. It was an intense discussion, and there's a lot to talk about there. I guess the main point that stood out for me was this idea that physical jobs are kind of disappearing, mm-hmm. but despite that, people miss them because we have sort of this instinct to do physical things.
And it's really nothing new. We learned that this all kind of started during the Industrial Revolution back in the 18th and 19th centuries in many Western nations when machines and factories, they actually began to take the place of, people doing the work. And that's happening even more today. What is something else we learned yesterday, Lois?
Well, we also learned about how people really do love these hard work or hard-working people who do reality TV. They actually enjoy watching it because maybe they're missing out in that in their own lives. They're always sitting at a desk, or maybe they work in a place where, you know, you don't actually get to use your hands or your skills.
Right. And so we're continuing this discussion today. Yesterday we ended talking about physical work in its 11th hour, the idea of that, you know, this is kind of coming to an end. If we're talking about the 11th hour, it's nearly the end of something. And Simon, it says here, but it still intrigues us. We are still interested in physical work. And why is that?
Well, we talked about that a little bit, too, towards the end of yesterday's discussion. And I think one of the big problems we have as people who maybe have office work jobs, one of the big problems is that we don't understand there are actually many different kinds of physical labor.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we're very interested in the idea of physical labor, but we don't necessarily know what's involved with it. And so you get a lot of interest in things, maybe because people think, oh, it's like a simple life.
Mm.
But maybe in other ways, because we're really impressed with the skills that are involved being able to do that sort of thing.
But the writer of this article, Victor Davis Hansen, says it intrigues us in part because it remains the foundation for 21st century complexity. And so if something is complex, it has many parts. And when you think about physical labor, when you think about all of the things that are being done in the world, you know, that is complex,
mm-hmm.
right? There's a lot of work going
right.
on, and I think that's what intrigues us. We're thinking of a building that's being built. We're thinking of, a rail system and all of these different things that kind of make the world go round.
Well, right. And Brandon, just sitting in this studio, I see in the studio, and if our readers or listeners want to come visit us, they can, how much skilled labor is involved in this studio we sit in right now. It's incredible.
Right.
Look at how it's decorated. Look at how we have to think of sound, all these things. So it is really valued in our world.
That's right. There's a lot that goes into the work, the labor that goes into many of the things around us. We don't stop and think about it, but we need to appreciate it, right? And because, you know, we all, as I've said many times, have been given different gifts and talents, and, if we all did the same thing, it would, for one, be boring, but we wouldn't be very productive as a society, right? And so it takes all of us to come together and kind of make the world work as it does. And so we're continuing our discussion on page 20 today. If you have your magazines, go ahead and open them up to page 20, and we'll have our first reading for today.
Before any of us can teach, write, or speculate, we must first have food, shelter, and safety. And for a bit longer, that will require some people to cut grapes and nail 2x6s. No apps or 3D printers exist to produce brown rice. It is astonishing the degree to which a high-tech postmodern society still depends on low-tech pre-modern labor. Physical work, moreover, has an intrinsic satisfaction in that it is real in the primordial sense that non-physical work is not. there remains something wondrous in transforming material conditions through the hands, an act that can be seen and felt rather than just spoken or written about. Changing the physical landscape, either by building or destroying something previously constructed or altering it, lends a sense of confidence that the human body can still manifest one's ideas by concrete action.
Okay, we are on page 20, and it says here at the beginning, before any of us can teach, write, or speculate, to speculate as you're guessing, you're making a guesstimation without having all the information there at your disposal. What should we do first?
Well, it says we must first have food, shelter, and safety.
Okay. Of course, that's important, right? And so really here, I think he's trying to highlight the fact that we need to have an appreciation for those who are involved in industries that maybe we take for granted, right? Those who are farming, producing, you know, giving us the food that we have on our tables.
Right now I want to put this author on a Survivor show and then he can learn lots about this.
Yeah, right. So, you know, a lot of us, we couldn't do a lot of things we're talking about here because we don't have those skills, right? And this mm-hmm. the point is we can learn those if we want. You know, if something breaks in our house, we can know how to fix it. But we can also know that, you know, it takes all of us to kind of make the world work, right? And so, you know, we need food and shelter and safety. Those things are important before we can actually do some of the jobs that we're doing now.
Well, and economists actually talk about this. They talk about how as the economy becomes more complicated, nobody can make anything around them anymore. Mm-hmm. So if you look at something as simple as a pencil, you can't really make it from start to finish, like getting the wood and preparing the wood and getting the graphite for the pencil lead. All of these things, even things that are very simple, are actually really complicated, but we really need them. Mm-hmm. And so there are parts of getting those products that we don't really understand.
Okay, and he says here that for, you know, a while longer, that will require people to cut grapes and nail 2x6s. And what are 2x6s, Simon?
It's just a measurement for a size of wood. The idea is that it's 2 inches thick and 6 inches across.
And there are 2x4s, and there's different measurements.
2x2s, yeah.
Yeah. So no apps or 3D printers exist to produce brown rice, right? So we have all of this technology, but hey, we still need people to do a lot of the work. And so we should have an appreciation and be thankful, actually, that people are doing this work.
Exactly. And yeah, you're right. And appreciate the work they do and that they're willing to be there to put shelter up for you or grow the food you want to eat or harvest it or whatever the case may be.
So we've been talking a lot about technology, but here the writer says it's astonishing the degree to which a high-tech postmodern society still depends on low-tech pre-modern labor. So let's break down some of these words. First of all, astonishing just means surprising. You know, and then we have the term postmodern, Simon.
Oh, I might have even started before that with the degree to which something, and that basically mm-hmm. just means it's surprising how much we, and then in this case, mm-hmm. We as a postmodern society, the idea is that we've been through a period of time in our history called the modernist period, and now we're after that, so they've added the prefix post.
Okay, and then we're in this postmodern society, but we're still depending on low-tech, pre-modern labor, okay? So back in many years ago, of course, you know, they didn't have a lot of technology, and so they used, you know, certain labor techniques. We're still depending on mm-hmm. a lot of that today, even though we are in a so-called high-tech society.
Right.
Okay. And so he's kind of just making this observation here. And then he goes on and talks about physical work, moreover, has an intrinsic satisfaction in that it is real. Now, what is he saying here, Simon?
Well, it's interesting. There's sort of like a simplified argument here because obviously we don't have that much space. But the idea is that doing physical work, just by being physical work has something about it that is satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we mean by intrinsic. Like it's built into it. Yeah. It's part of it that you can't separate from it. And so that's basically what he's saying. Even though we have all of this technology, there's something about physical work that just makes us feel very satisfied.
Okay, and then we have another term here. What is that?
Yes, we do, Brandon. On line 10, we have the word primordial. And we have that in our specialized terms on page 19, and it says referring to something that has existed since the beginning of time.
Okay, or something that is foundational, right? So, you know, people have been doing physical labor since the beginning of time, and it has that kind of, you know, satisfaction, that intrinsic satisfaction that people have experienced for many years. And we can still experience that today, but oftentimes we don't because we're not involved in physical
right.
labor as much.
We have a non-physical job, most of us nowadays, and especially if maybe it was part of your life growing up to have something you did physical, even with your parents. You had chores, or you mowed the lawn,
yeah.
or you raked the leaves. It's something you are going to probably miss.
Yeah, I mean, mowing the lawn can be very satisfying, right? You start out, the grass is tall, and you go out, you mow the lawn, and you look at it, and you're like, wow, that looks nice. Look at what I was able to accomplish. And the same with a lot of physical labor. If you're building something, once you complete it, you can look at it, and there's a lot of satisfaction there.
Mm-hmm. So, I made this.
Yes, you
right?
made that.
I
you
made
did it.
This thing.
All right. Okay, so there remains something wondrous in transforming material conditions through the hands. Okay, so in other words, you have, you know, a 2x6 there or several of them or whatever, and you're building something and you're transforming it. You're taking it from that, you know, piece of wood and you're making a birdhouse or whatever it is, and you're transforming that, and there remains something wondrous and amazing about that. And, you know, I think, you know, we were created to be creative,
mm-hmm.
and that's one way that you can be creative. And he goes on and says, this is an act that can be seen and felt rather than just spoken or written about. And that's an interesting observation. You know, a lot of times when you're in school, and college especially, you learn about theory, but there's the practical side. So you could compare that here. A lot of, you know, the work we do is, you know, similar to theory, but this is a very, you know, hands-on type
right,
of work.
Right. How you can make a yard look like you've spent probably years doing. I mean, you might have only spent a month doing it, but
right.
it really gives you satisfaction. And you like showing it off to your neighbors.
Yeah. And, you know, if you work in an office or something, it's nice to go home and do something like that, right? It pulls from a different part of your mind, your body, and so forth. And it really does bring some satisfaction, at least for most people. So changing the physical landscape, either by building or destroying something previously constructed or altering it, does what, Simon?
Well, it builds a sense of confidence. And specifically here, the writer says confidence that the human body can still manifest one's ideas by concrete action, which is kind of a mouthful of a sentence.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea there is basically that you have confidence that you can turn your ideas into actual things by using your body.
That's right. You have an idea, and you want to build something, you want to do something, and you think of how to do it. You get the materials that are necessary. You construct it, and it gives you, you know, kind of this sense of satisfaction. And also, we have confidence that the human body can still, you know, manifest or show that your ideas can be realized, and that you can put them into action, and you can see it. And that's the whole part of being satisfied in your work. And we can have that satisfaction, too, in a lot of other areas. You know, you're writing something, and you start off, you know, and then you finish it, and then you, hey, I wrote this article. But to be honest, I think that's different than building something. It's, something physical that you can see. It's just has a very different feel to it. So again, this is a commentary. This is a writer's perspective on society, especially in America. Okay, so are we becoming more dependent on others? You know, you think about physical labor. If you don't do that much physical labor, then you will be dependent on others. Let's find out about that in our next reading for today.
Becoming more dependent on others? Physical labor also promotes human versatility. Those who do not do it or who do not know how to do it become divorced from and at the same time dependent on laborers. Lawyers, accountants, and journalists living in houses with yards and driving cars to work thus count on a supporting infrastructure of electricians, landscapers, and mechanics. Without them, life grinds to a halt, unless one has rudimentary knowledge of such tasks, or the time and willingness to learn them. In that context, physical labor can provide independence, at least in a limited sense, of not being entirely reliant on a host of hired workers. By the same token, working with one's hands, however temporarily, gives some approximation of what physical labor is and what those who do it might be like.
I actually really like this section because I guess the biggest thing I've kind of wondered about this article so far is kind of this idea that often the article has used a lot of kind of negative language. For example, we've described physical jobs, for example, as like low-tech, pre-modern labor, things like that. And from my experience working with physical jobs, the surprising thing is actually how much skill is involved, and we haven't really mentioned that. And so, you know, in my experience as an office worker, often you sort of feel like the physical job would be very easy to do, but when you actually try to do it, you realize you can't do it. And that's sort of addressed here in this section. The writer says specifically physical labor also promotes human versatility. Those who do not do it or who do not know how to do it become divorced from laborers.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of the idea. Often we think it's sort of like a lower level thing and we can't actually do it.
Yeah, this was a sensitive article for me because I have a high skilled laborer daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the she works with wood all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she does custom jobs. And right now what she's focusing on are wine cellars. So you can imagine they cannot be done with modern technology. It has to be hands-on.
Yeah.
And they have to be perfect.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people in carpentry, they have to pay a lot of attention to detail. And it's not easy work. If you're really good at it, that means you are very skilled. I knew a guy when I was doing construction work, he could, you know, make cabinets and do all sorts of things, and he was great at what he did, and he was meticulous. He took a lot of time and put a lot of effort into it. And, you know, there's a lot to be said about the skills that go into
exactly. it. Exactly, and a lot of math involved, too. So you have to be somebody who enjoys that.
That's right. Okay, so physical labor promotes human versatility. That term versatility, or to be versatile, you're able to change easily from one activity to another, or you're able to be used for many different purposes.
Yeah, and in our last section, the writer actually talked about how physical work gives you a confidence because you can change your ideas into actual things. But I actually think it's this versatility that gives you the real confidence because you're able to have this sense that no matter what problems you end up facing, you know, your tap is dripping in, you know, in your bathroom or, you know, whatever, you can take care of it because you have the skills that are required to fix that sort of thing.
Okay, and I just used the adjective usage, and I think there's a couple of different pronunciations there. Here we have it as versatile, and I believe you can also say versatile, and that's how I referred to it earlier. But at any rate, we're talking about how physical labor promotes this. And, you know, if you don't know how to do, you know, very much physical labor, then you do have to depend on others to do it. And there's a whole host of professions who may need to depend on others. And we have an example here some examples, lawyers, accountants, and journalists.
Yeah, that's right. They give us a whole list. And the thing that the professions at the beginning of this list all have in common, of course, is that they're white-collar professional office jobs. And so specifically they name lawyers, accountants, and journalists. And they say they're living in houses with yards and driving cars to work. But then they mention that these people need a whole, they call it a supporting infrastructure. And I think that's an interesting term.
Yeah, infrastructure, you think of, the way things work. You usually think of infrastructure as like roads and that sort of thing. But it's kind of the structure that allows you to do what you do, in a sense. I mean, if you don't have electricians, you know, we couldn't be doing what we're doing right now, right?
Right.
We need power,
no
we need lights,
way.
We need.
Exactly.
So, and we often take that for granted. And there's landscapers and mechanics. If your car breaks down, where do you take it, right?
Right. And I was thinking these are also professions in their own right. Mm. Electricians, landscapers, and mechanics, I believe in the country I'm from, every electrician almost makes the same or more than lawyers, accountants, and journalists because it is such a demand job and people need that skilled labor.
It's in high demand, that's right. Without them, life grinds to a halt or comes to a stop. That's a good idiom to know. If something grinds to a halt, it stops or it no longer works. Okay, so without all of these professions, we would be at a loss. Imagine, you know, your car breaks down and you don't know how to fix it. Well, you need to take it to a mechanic, right? And so what if there were no mechanics? It says here, of course, without them, life would come to a halt. And unless one has rudimentary knowledge.
Yeah, and so the writer then offers us some solutions, two of them actually, to what happens if everything around you stops working and you don't have the infrastructure of people to fix it or get it working. The first way to escape that problem is to have this rudimentary knowledge. And rudimentary really just means basic knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the basic skills needed to fix these things yourself. The other one is you could have the time and willingness to learn the skills. So if your electricity stops working and you have enough time to figure out how to fix it, then you might be able to have electricity again. If you don't have enough time, then you either need to already know the skill to fix it, or you need to be able to call that support infrastructure to help you out.
I think a big part of this is how much does it cost to get it fixed and where you live in the world. Some places it may be relatively inexpensive, and so you don't feel the need to learn how to do that. But in other ways, you know, it may benefit you to learn how to do a few of these things.
Other locations in the world, it is quite expensive because they have to make a service call first, and then they come back and fix it.
Right. So in that context, he says, physical labor can provide independence. Of course, if you know how to fix something that breaks in your house, you are more independent. You don't have to depend on someone else to do it. He says that provides this independence at least in a limited sense of not being entirely reliant on hired workers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so you don't have to always rely on someone else. And then he goes on to say, by the same token, first of all, what does that mean, that idiom, by the same token?
It basically means in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, and what does it go on to say, Lois?
It says working with one's hands, so doing physical work, however temporarily, gives some approximation of what physical labor is and what those who do it might be like.
Okay, yeah, you can relate to people, you know, when you are able to do some of these kinds of tasks. You know, what work goes into it. A lot of times we don't realize all the hard work people are doing. And sometimes you're thankful. You're like, I'm glad that's not my everyday job. And I can appreciate people who do that. I mean, sometimes you can think, you can just name a bunch of different professions. We have some here. If you're an electrician, a landscaper, a mechanic, you don't necessarily know all the work that goes into that. But I guarantee you, if you learn some of that, if you go do landscaping for a few days in the hot sun, you realize all of the hard work that goes into that. Simon?
Did you know I was a landscaper, Brandon?
Well, you said you've done every job imaginable, so.
It's true. I spent a summer as a landscaper, and I have an appreciation that makes me not want to do it again.
Why?
It's just really hard work. Like you said, really hot, really hard work. But it definitely requires sort of some skill and some knowledge and basic ability.
Exactly.
I'm glad I had that experience.
I know my son did it quite a number of times and for years or so at a time. And I can't believe how many plants he knows the names of and where to place them and what time of year. I'm pretty impressed.
Yeah, and some people, they would rather do that than sit in an office. Some people, you know, don't want to sit in an office all day, so they'd rather do something outside. And thank God we all have different things that we like to do, and because it does, we can't all do the same thing, right? And so really what we're learning here is, of course, there's a decline in physical labor, but we should also have an appreciation for it, and it is still necessary even in our high-tech age.
Exactly, and I picked up that I need to learn a few skills myself, not just depend on laborers or my husband. I better be able to do some of these things myself when I'm on my own.
Well, listeners, what do you think? We would like for you to go onto our website and give us your feedback. StudioClassroom.com is our website, so go on and let us know your thoughts about this month's workplace article. Also, if you want to watch some videos to help with your English learning, please go to our website and check out our Topic Talks videos, or you can simply scan the QR code there at the top of page 18 with your digital device, and we hope that you will enjoy all of those videos and find them to be helpful. Well, we thank you for joining us this month for our workplace article. We've talked about a lot of different things and concepts and a lot of great words, especially the past couple of days. And so go back and review those and look some up if you need to. And we hope that you find that to be helpful. And we hope you'll join us next time here on Advanced Studio Classroom. Until then, this is Brandon.
Lois.
And Simon.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.